This is Smart Tech, episode 1703, Building a Studio in Your House. Hello, I'm Chuck Minear, and this is Smart Tech, and we're under construction. Yes, at Smart Tech, we are tearing down and hopefully building up. And I wanted to share a little bit of the details with you because I thought it was interesting and it has a lot to do with tech, which is what this show's about. So that seems like a good idea. I have a small office next to the laundry room at my house. And in that office, I have created a small studio, a microphone on a boom, a Macintosh computer, and recording software. And each month I record at least two episodes and post them on the internet for my multitude of fans. All right, the 12 people that listen to this show. It's actually somewhere in the middle there between multitude and 12. But and by the way, I appreciate every single one of you. But it's kind of a crowded area. Because it's not very big, and there are lots of ambient noises around. I have a dog that wanders around. When the washing machine or dryer's on, you could hear it in the background. I know I'm shattering the illusion, the smart tech illusion. When we had kids move out of the house, one of the bedrooms, it's a three-bedroom house, one of the bedrooms became available, and I said, you know, I'd really like an office in a room. I bought the house, so can I have one room? And my wife reminded me that I have all the rooms because my junk takes over the whole house. But other than that, I decided that I would take a room, remodel it more into what I'd want in a studio that I could close things off, maybe add some more video. We do have a YouTube channel, but we don't really utilize it too much. And I need an area to be able to do demos, those kind of things. The house was built in the 40s. And in the 1940s, you, at least in the area that I'm in, it was the beginning of wallboard. And the wallboard had holes in it. I call it, or I've heard it called button board. It can be called other things. But anyway, what they did is they made this drywall that was a little thicker than the drywall we use right now. A little more plastery, and they drilled or they created holes all across, like a matrix of holes. And then they would plaster on top of that board, and the plaster would grab onto those holes. And so it was a lot like lath and plaster, the old lath and plaster method, where you would attach strips of wood on a wall, and then you would plaster over the strips of wood, and the plaster would go through those slits in the wood and hold on to the wood. But this way you could put things up much faster because you could put it up by a board, which is what we do now with drywall. So since the house is plaster, when you knock things out of it, it becomes very dusty and dirty. So upstairs there are two bedrooms and a bath. The bath is pink. That's all I need to say. It also leaks. And so we decided that it was time to retire the pink tiled, pink toilet, pink bathtub, pink sink, and to make it a little bit more waterproof. At this point, the second floor is over. A part of it's over the garage, and so whenever somebody took a shower in that particular bathtub, you could also take a shower in the garage, a secondary shower. So yeah, it was a mess. And so we decided first we were going to remodel the bathroom, and that consisted of a gut. And then the room next to it, which I wanted to use as an office, I wasn't really planning on gutting it, but when we started gutting the bathroom, I thought, you know, let's take all of the plaster down to the studs. Let's replace the electrical. Let's do a good job with this. So that's what we did. We took all the plasterboard off the wall and took it down to the studs. Then we removed the electrical. The electrical in this house was put in metal flexible cable. And inside of that is wire. And it's actually a very, very good way. It's probably the best way to install wiring. The problem with it is the wiring inside of the armored cable has a cloth covering on it, and it is disintegrating. And so when you took that wire apart, you took the ends off the wire, the insulation around each of the wires would kind of crumble off. And so it's open to either a short in the future, if it gets too hot, starting a fire, and it was just time to replace it. The plumbing in the bathroom is galvanized plumbing from the 1940s. It was time to replace that too. And so we went on the mission of replumbing, and we used a PEX to do that, which is a type of plastic pipe that's used all over the country instead of copper. It's much cheaper. It's also easier to run long distances because it comes in big rolls. So we reran the hot and cold, moved the drain over for the bathtub, put in a new bathtub, and put in insulation. And I'm going to do a whole show. This is going to be exciting to you. Wait, hold on to your hats. I'm going to do a whole show on insulation because the technology of insulation has really changed over the years too. And I think that that's good information for a homeowner to know, even if you're not, you know, going to install it yourself. Maybe you want to hire somebody, but you'll know what you're talking about. So I'm going to talk over the rest of this year periodically about different parts of the studio makeover and different things we considered as far as trying to anticipate technology, but also not to break the bank, because that's very possible to do. So we decided to use rock wool in the wall because rock wool is A, very, very fire resistant, and B, it is soundproof or sound deadening. It's used in studios. It's used in wall baffles to attenuate sound. And so we used rock wool there, rock wool in the ceiling, and then another layer of rolled insulation over the top of the rock wool so that we have about an R45 insulation in the attic. And we are in Southern California, so for us, that's pretty darn good. I'm also a believer in insulating between rooms. It's not done in a lot of houses, but it just takes the edge off the noise and the echo in a house. And since we were going the room next to it, which we also took the insulation off, we decided to put rock wool in that and use that to attenuate the sound. So now let's get into the studio. So that's the bathroom. The bathroom is three quarters done, and that's nice, and I'm working on that. But the room next door was going to be my new office, and it was also going to be a recording studio of some sort. And I'm probably not going to be doing any kind of music recording. It'll probably be all voice. I like doing podcasts. There's a couple other shows I'd like to put on our network. So it would be a great place to do some recording. I'm kind of looking down the line. So how do you take that room, which is on the front of the house? Now, we're not on a really busy street, but we're on a street that's busy enough that the sound of the cars is heard through the windows and through the wall. Remember, there's no insulation in this house. So right now, when cars drive up, you can hear them in the background if you're on that side of the house. I decided to use the most cost-effective and yet do-it-yourself sound deadening insulation that I could use, and that was the rock wool. And I like the way that works. You can cut it with a bread knife, actually, and it's very stiff, so it fits right in the wall, unlike fiberglass, which is a little harder to install. But it is more expensive than fiberglass. It's about a third more than fiberglass, but I thought it was worth it. So in that room, completely all the way around that room is this rock wool that's put in between the studs. And then in the ceiling is another R30 fiberglass rolled on top of the studs in the attic. And the other thing was to pull out the single pane windows. There were single pane wood windows in there from the 40s, which not only let the weather in, but let the sound in. And I removed those and I replaced them with a Geldwin replacement window that is made to attenuate sound. So that was something I paid a little bit extra for. I will say that if I ever have the opportunity to buy windows again, it will not be from Geldwin. I've had horrible, the windows were not done well. And when they came, they didn't work. I'm not sure how you make a window that doesn't work, but they didn't work. And when they were installed, they were even worse. The windows would just fall down. And I have literally been on the phone with Geldwin a lot of times, and I'm still waiting. We're coming into February. They're not going to have parts for it until February 15th. I bought those windows in August, although I installed them in December. So, you know, I'll give them the benefit of the doubt that I didn't know until December that there was a problem. But now, instead of replacing the windows or sending the correct parts right away, I have been waiting for literally weeks to have somebody come out and to fix those windows. So if you have a choice, I'd pick a different manufacturer. But the windows are in, and that has also attenuated sound. Now, the best way to attenuate sound is to create a double wall. What I should have done for the most studio-like atmosphere was to insulate the wall that's currently there, then to drywall that wall with 5/8, and then add a space and build a whole other wall, 2x4 wall out, or 2x6, even better, out a few inches from the previous wall. So we're building a wall inside of a wall, insulate that, and then put two layers of drywall on the front of that. That's done in a lot of recording studios, and it creates an isolated room inside of a room. And so you would build down the ceiling, you would build down the walls. This is not that big of a room. And remember, it is a house, and eventually we may want to use it for a bedroom again, or if we want to sell the house, it's got to be for a bedroom. And so I didn't think that going full hog, and it's expensive. I would have to reframe and rebuild an entire room. That's four walls, and go around the existing doors, replace the doors, because now you have double thick walls. So you're going to have to do something about the doors. And usually you put in a very heavy door that's kind of an airlock door, and that keeps even more of the sound out. And I thought it was getting a little bit ridiculous for a podcast studio, and that most of the sound in the room is attenuated because the microphones we use for podcasting or for radio are meant to be used close up, and it kind of blocks out some of the extra noise. So as long as the ambient noise is very low, you don't really hear it in the recording. So this was a compromise. What we did was we insulated very well, sealed up any extra holes, and used 5/8 drywall instead of 1/2. So it was thicker drywall, more dense, and would help attenuate the sound just a little bit. We didn't do anything different on the floor. The floor had no insulation in it, but there was an oak floor that was refinishable. And so we decided to keep the original oak floors, which meant that I don't have any insulation underneath. I will be redoing the garage eventually. Now, that garage is plastered on the ceiling, so I'll have to pull down the plaster in the ceiling and put some rock wool underneath that to help attenuate the sound. The other way to attenuate the sound even better is to use a foam spray. The foam spray insulation adheres itself to the existing chamber that you spray it into, and it really seals it off. So for weather, it's the best insulation to use. And there are certain kinds of foam you can get that will also give you good sound attenuation. But once you do that, it is not cheap. So this was a balance between practicality, budgeting, and having a room that we could use. So that's why we went with that decision. Now, I've got some hard disk arrays that I save all of our shows on and other things that I do, photography. And they make a little bit of noise in the background. There's a bit of hum. I've got three of them. Actually, I have four of them. And so two of them have two disks in it, so it always writes to one disk and backs up to the other one. The other two have four disks in them, and they're mostly for archiving things, things I don't go to very often, but I want to be able to save. And so they also back themselves up within one box. And what that means is I don't really want them on my desk anymore. I've got them on my desk right now, and I can hear the fan going. I don't know if you can. I have the microphone facing away from the fan on those units so that the sound on this particular microphone is all from the front, and the back, it attenuates sound coming from the back. So I think that it pretty much cuts that out. But it takes up a lot of desk space, and there's not really a reason to have them there. So what do I do? So what I did was in wiring the room, I wired it a few different ways. First of all, I figured out where I wanted the desk, and I put I clustered some cans in the ceiling for lights. So there's more lights in this room than you would normally have, but it's task lighting over the work surface. And then I also have other cans spread around the room. I put two different switches on. So one switch could turn on the lights over the desk, and the other switch would turn on the other lights. I also bought a few of the Lutron Caseta switches. Those switches work with different systems like HomeKit for Apple, Alexa, and Android, and I put those in the wall so I could program them to be something called Office, and I can talk into my Apple Watch, into my phone. I could turn the lights on, I could turn them off, I could turn them on from different locations, I can dim them all from the switch and do that from my desk. So if I'm sitting there at the desk and I need to lower the lights, but I'm working on something, I can just tell Alexa, or I can tell Siri to please lower the lights that I tell it to do. So it's a process of automating the whole house as I go. And I decided to put them in the office. I really like them, but they're not cheap. About $60 per switch. So right now I'm strategically locating them. I also needed a place where I could store a router where I could send, you know, Ethernet signals to different parts of the room or different parts of the house. So I wanted to put these hard disks somewhere, and I thought that was a good place. Put them in the closet along with a router and some other things. The problem is that they're, you know, multiple feet from the desk, and I don't really want to use Ethernet to access a hard disk. It's too slow. Good for backups and things like that. But if you're using it to store real-time files, you want to use USB or FireWire, whatever, Lightning, whatever the connection is that hard drive has. So I found online some 25-foot USB 2.0 cables. It would be better to put USB 3 in there, but I have nothing in the office that's USB 3. So I decided, and this is another cost thing, I decided that two was fast enough, at least for right now. And if I needed a three, I could put it on the desk. So I ran two USB cables from the desk up the wall into the ceiling and down into the closet. Now, that distance is really long for USB. So they make these cables that have in the middle of the cable, there's a little box there that kind of runs into, and that box is actually an amplifier. So it takes the voltage from the USB and it powers a little amplifier halfway there and amplifies the USB signal so that it can make it the full 25 feet without any signal degradation. And those cables weren't inexpensive, but the other way to do it, of course, is fiber optics, to run a fiber optic cable there, but you do need to terminate the fiber optics at either end. And at this point, that's still prohibitively expensive, I thought anyway. And so what I should have done and I didn't do was to get the fiber cable, run the fiber cable in the wall, but just not hook it up to anything for later. I thought of that later. So I don't have fiber in that wall, but I've got USB. So I can take those hard drives when I move into that office and put them into the closet and plug them straight into the computer with the signal going right into the wall. I also decided that I wanted a large or a larger monitor up on the wall so I could do some video editing and when I'm doing audio, I could see the controls very big and, you know, I'm kind of getting older, my eyesight, you know, whatever. So that's all in the wall too, from where I'm going to have my desk. So this was the compromise in the room. I took a sound meter up there and kind of stood for a while after we got all this put in, and the ambient noise is very low in there. So I think that it'll work fine. If I need a little bit more silence, I could put up some heavy drapes or something like that. But I think in this particular area, we did a good compromise in sound attenuation, keeping the room available to be an actual house and to be able to use it as a studio or as an office. So those are all the thoughts that kind of went into this. The last thing I'll talk about today, later I'll talk about what's in the room, but I just ordered my first piece of something for the actual room, and that was a new desk. The desk I'm at's kind of old and starting to deteriorate. So what I did is I ordered an up desk, which is a standing desk. This desk is electric, and you can set different settings on the desks for standing or sitting so that while I'm working, while you're working, you should be standing a bit and sitting a bit. It's not good to stand all day. It's also good not to sit all day. And so varying between standing and sitting while you're working is a healthier option. So this desk will be my main desk that I'll have my computer on, and that desk will rise up to, I think, around 52 inches if I need it that high, which I don't, and will go down to about 25 inches, which is lower than I need it to go. So I will be, I'll review that because I'm really interested to see if I even use it. I'm going to try to force myself to use it because it's probably about double what you normally pay for a desk that has the other features that this desk has, and you're paying for those motors. So we'll give it a try. So I'm really excited. I'm excited to see what the future holds for Smart Tech, upping our production level and our game a little bit, and bringing you the newest, most interesting technology news that there is. If you'd like to see some pictures of what we're doing and you'd like to keep up with what's going on in the new studio, then just log onto our website, www.smarttech.tv. That's SMARTTECH.TV. There's two T's in the middle. Smarttech.TV. There'll be show notes there. I'll throw a couple pictures in there, maybe a before and where we are so far. I've still got the trim out and some other things to do in the room. We just had the floors refinished. I think they look great. And part of producing something good is being in a good atmosphere, someplace you enjoy working. So that's what we're trying to create within reason, within balance, within budget. You can also go to our website and like us on Facebook. You can make a comment about the show. That helps us a lot. When you go in there and you click on the episode, you click that you like the episode, your friends see that you like the episode, and we get more listeners. That's how we get the most listeners, is referrals. And there's also a button on the right-hand side for Facebook where you can like our Facebook page, and we interact on that quite a bit. There's a place on our website where you can leave comments. If any of you do any kind of podcasting or recording or video, it would be interesting to see your studio or how your setup is. And you can share that right on our website in the comment section under this episode. So once again, that web address is www.smarttech.tv. Until next time, this is your host, Chuck Minear, hoping that this episode has made you just a little bit smarter about tech.